cars in the United States, and the motor car is the biggest polluter in the country. But it's all mixed up with this other stuff. Don't kid yourself that General Motors only makes motor cars and pollutes with motor cars. They have more tricks to their bow than that. Ralph Nader asked me a few weeks ago to please be one of the General Motors stockholders. And I did. And the treasurer of General Motors wrote me a beautiful letter the other day, welcoming me as a new shareholder, telling me all the beautiful products that General Motors was making for the American people. But I was sort of interested to see that in that long list of General Motors products, he'd left a few things out. You see, General Motors is the 10th biggest defense contractor in the country. It was Senator Proxmire's committee that told us all about that. And in my innocence, I thought that was just cars and trucks, until one day I turned up in Cleveland, Ohio to give a speech, and that day the Cleveland newspapers were announcing the happy news that a contract for $1.3 billion, bigger than the combined gross national products of Laos and Cambodia put together, a contract for $1.3 billion had just been awarded to the General Motors Tank Division, which is in Cleveland, and makes the famous, or should I call it infamous, Sheridan tank. That damn thing doesn't work. The ammunition doesn't fit the gun. Every now and then it kills the guys inside the tank. That doesn't matter. The contract rolls on. And that's what Pentagonism, that's what Pentagonism is all about.
I'm getting thirsty. I have this and
oh,
this.
Oh boy. Thanks.
And this if you want it too. There you go.
Boy, oh boy. Daisy made orange drink, artificially colored. The hell with it.
here, it's awful.
Oh boy, orange drink without oranges. Okay, what was I talking about? Pentagonism. You see, those sums of money I've been mentioning, you can't make that kind of money out of Southeast Asians. They don't have it. You can't make that kind of money out of Africans or Latin Americans. They don't have it. If you want to make that kind of money, you have to go where it is. And where's that? Here, us. We're the only people who have that kind of money. And we're buying and paying for all that stuff right here. All that stuff is bought and paid for right here. It isn't being made to be sold for export. When it's exported, it's being given away or dumped, because the only problem that leaves is to dump that stuff, to dump that expensive military hardware so that we can buy and pay for some more. That's one of the things that South Vietnam is for. Whenever Mr. Nixon talks about withdrawing our forces from South Vietnam, he always introduces the curious expression, ground forces, ground troops. Support forces are going to stay for a long time more. It's the ground troops that are going to be pulled out. It's the ground troops that aren't going into Laos. Only support forces. What's that about? Those ground troops, they're the infantry. They contain the draftees. You have to understand what a draftee is. He's a kid who waited around long enough to be drafted. And then he's put into the infantry. Those ground troops in Southeast Asia are taking 2 to 3 times the casualty rate of all the other forces. And those are the guys who are going to be pulled out. And that'll leave the support forces. And the support forces are the ones who dump the expensive military equipment. An infantryman can't carry enough. It takes those support forces to really dump the big stuff and the expensive stuff. You've seen those views of South Vietnam in which you see from the air great expanses of perfectly flat country, nothing strategic in sight, great expanses of rice paddies, and the B-52 bomb craters are edge to edge all across the landscape. What's that all about? It's the dumping. And a lot of the dumping goes on right here. Mr. Laird has just withdrawn our latest supersonic bomber, the B-58. It's never been used, but now they've all just been retired with Mr. Laird's promise that soon we'll have another and a better one. And then that brings us to the biggest scandal in the whole military procurement program, the Army Super Transport, the C-5A. Let me tell you about it, because that's the perfect solution for the dumping problem. That Army Super Transport, my God, when a subcommittee of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee caught up with it about a year ago, the ceiling of $2.9 billion on that contract had already risen above $5.2 billion, and not one plane delivered. And then they promised they'd deliver a plane on December 17th. And then as December 17th drew near, we were told the wings show a tendency to crack. And for a while I was reading in the newspapers that if only the weather is nice on December 17th, they might try to fly a plane. But no, December 17th passed by and still no C-5A. So I was startled to read in my favorite publication, Newsweek, that we now have 14 of those planes. 14 of them have been delivered. Well, I wondered about that. So I promptly, a few days ago, got Senator Proxmire's office on the phone, and one of his staff knew all about it. And he told me about those 14 planes. So now I'll tell you. It turns out that at the request of the Lockheed Aircraft Corporation that makes, or at least collects for, the C-5A, at the request of Lockheed Aircraft Corporation, our Department of Defense halved the specified load for the C-5A, cut it in half, and then they delivered 14 planes, but the wings show a tendency to crack. So those planes are under orders never to try to fly them with more than half the load. That's the way to do the job. You don't have to dump the C-5A. It doesn't exist, and that saves a lot of trouble. And that's the way it is. That stuff is all bought and paid for here, by us. And I'd like to say a word more about that. The military procurement budget for this year is $21 billion, $30 billion to run that Vietnam War. A lot of peaceniks around me in sheer desperation have been saying they'd like to withhold part of their taxes, the part used for military expenditures, the part used for the Vietnam War. And then they make a discovery. You can't withhold your taxes. Those taxes are collected at the source. A nice guy named Beardsley Rummel in World War II invented pay-as-you-go taxation. It was thought to be a big convenience. The government would collect your tax at the source. You didn't have to keep track of it, so we lost track of it at that point. We don't have to bother with it. It's collected at the source. And there is a mythical something called one's gross pay. You're told you earn it, but you can't lay hands on it. You can't even if you want to, however much you try. It's all taken off at the source, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, some of the black people around me, I've heard say, they look on themselves as a colony. For heaven's sake, we're all a colony. That's what domestic imperialism means. We're all a colony. It's not the black people alone. Black and white, we're all a colony. And so it's all mixed up. And I don't mind having got to this point. I'm ready to talk a little bit about the environment and pollution. The environment sure needs a lot of attention. We're threatened with extinction from all kinds of directions now, and one of them is pollution. We have to deal with it. You're not being asked to deal with it. You're being told it's going to be so difficult that you'd be well advised to steer clear of it. If only you could, but you can't. You're not being asked. You're being told. We have to. It's a matter of life or death. And yet, there are two traps. There are two traps concealed in this environment situation. You know, the environment has been called a motherhood issue. Everybody's for the environment, the way they are for motherhood. But as you know, one can get a little too much even of motherhood. There are two traps, and watch them carefully. Because everybody in the country is willing to hold eloquent speeches about the environment, about doing away with pollution. But you ask them at some point just what it is they're planning to do. Because it's very easy to be eloquent about the environment, but as soon as you try to do something proper about it, you run into very powerful and very sensitive forces. There are two traps in the situation, and I want to talk about them both.